You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
This is Liz Rada for the Art World Demystified. Today on the show, we are speaking with Rachel Cook, who is an associate curator at DiverseWorks. She's also been an editor for Glass Tire and got her MA from Bard in their curatorial practices program.
It's the Center for Curatorial Studies
Center
at Bard
for Curatorial
College.
Studies. Okay, excellent. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So to begin with, I was wondering if you could talk about projects that you're working on right now and sort of your role at DiverseWorks.
Sure. We just opened a project that I'd been working on since I first got to DiverseWorks with Chelsea Knight and Mark Tribe. It's called Posse Comitatus, and they are two New York-based artists that I saw Chelsea's work essentially right before I got hired for this position. And she showed me this collaborative work that she had been working on with Mark Tribe and some raw footage in the studio. And when I got here, I was very excited about the project, and so went through the motions of proposing it as an exhibition to present at DiverseWorks. So now, 2 years later, it's finally
right.
complete. And it's a collaborative piece that they worked on together with dancers from St. Louis and militia from upstate New York. And the video footage combines these two realms. And then there's also photographs and then individual works by each artist.
Excellent.
So I would say my role at DiverseWorks is floats between research and kind of like creative thinking about the ideas for the exhibitions, as well as production and kind of anything from like sourcing materials for the artists or figuring out how we're going to make these projects come to life in the space.
Right. Excellent. I'm curious about your experience at Bard and the curatorial studies program. I hope I said it right this mm-hmm. time. Center for Curatorial Studies. How was that experience for you? I also know that you went to San Francisco Art Institute for your BFA, but I've heard a lot of really great things about the program at Bard,
yeah.
and I know that you also curated a show there. But yeah, what was your experience like for that program?
It was great. I was there when Johanna Burton was the director. So she had just started. I was there under sort of her direction the whole entire time. And yeah, I would say the program is probably one of the most unique curatorial programs in the country, in the sense that it really combines theoretical thinking with practical application, as well as kind of pulls a multidisciplinary approach to thinking through problems of making exhibitions and working with artists. And one of the things that I thoroughly enjoyed, as you said, my background is from a studio program from San Francisco Art Institute, where I majored in photography. So I didn't have the experience of being an undergrad in a liberal arts college. And Bard allowed me to kind of take classes. They, you know, CCS has a great partnership with the Hannah Arendt Center and the Human Rights Project, which are programs that are on Bard's campus, and you were able to take classes, you know, in each of those departments or sort of centers, if you will. And yeah, I took a lot of classes with Tom Keenan, who's the director of the Human Rights Project, which I really enjoyed.
Excellent. Well, it's interesting that you started in a studio program, a photography program, and then went into curatorial studies. And that sort of leads into my next question, which is, how did you get to this point in your career? And, you know, do you remember, like, the first time you decided you wanted to be a curator or even involved in the arts?
Sure. I mean, I have the sort of unfortunate fact of the I don't really remember making a decision of wanting to be involved in the arts, only that my mother tells me I proclaimed that I wanted to be an artist from a super early age. So that drive somehow was always in me. I went to the High School of Performing and Visual Arts, studied art there. I took classes at the Glassell School of Art here when I was a kid.
So you grew up in Houston?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I never once waffled about that part. I always wanted to do both, making artwork, writing, and making exhibitions. And in some ways, Houston is a great place to kind of... So I moved back to Houston after San Francisco Art Institute. And like watching people like Andrea Grover start Aurora Picture Show or Rick Lowe or other kind of artists, also leaders in the field, that they kind of floated between making work, making exhibitions, writing text. Right. It always seemed like that was possible.
So do you still make work?
No.
No,
that was a clear decision for me, and that's one that I describe it to people in the sense of that it never felt like I stopped. It just felt like I was switching gears into the gear that made more sense. Because towards the end of my practice, I was making participatory performances in which I was slowly pulling myself out of the frame.
Right.
And I just kept pulling myself further and further out of the frame, and I finally realized that I wanted to make exhibitions or bring things together. I didn't want to make people perform with me anymore.
Right. This is kind of maybe an oddball question, but are there things that you think artists assume about curators that are incorrect in terms of their creative process? And what would those things be?
It's just over the past couple years that the roles are clearly defined.
Yeah.
A certain like expectation of that, well, you're the curator and that should be your job.
Like in reference to what? Like making decisions about what?
It's such a range.
Okay.
It's like from the mundane to writing all of the text to the kind of creative of like helping the artist make certain decisions about the piece. Especially in projects like what DiverseWorks does, where it's like really taking an idea with an artist or bringing them in for a site visit and kind of posing a series of questions to them and their practice and then asking them to respond. It's such a range. It sort of like flummoxed me the first year how much that range exists. And I think what I feel like artists fail to understand is that they are different themselves in how they behave in each situation.
Oh, yeah.
And that there isn't, that the sort of curator on the institutional level, you're constantly having to respond to their different expectations that they sort of walk in the door with and maybe are able to clearly articulate to you or sometimes not clearly articulate to you.
So do you like it when artists are really open to sort of your questions and feedback, or do you prefer that they have some kind of like a really solid game plan, or does it just really depend on the situation?
I think it depends on the situation. What I've noticed is that I'm trying really hard to develop for instance, with Chelsea Knight and Mark Tribe, it's like that was a 2-year conversation.
Right.
And I really enjoy that time length and capability to kind of be thinking through their ideas for that amount of time, that is very helpful. I will say though that, I understand that that's sort of a luxurious position. So in some ways, then you have to develop different mechanisms for having conversations with a shorter time frame. And what does that mean? I feel like I am just trying to kind of see how many different, I guess I'm still at the beginning stages of like trying to figure out, you have this like laundry list of artists that you want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to figure out where they are in their projects and what kind of stage they're in.
Yeah.
If they're in the beginning stages it's most exciting when you can be kind of on the ground floor with the artist and you are kind of helping it's like you're not creating the work, but you're helping give them the opportunity to create the work for the first time.
Right.
Or to push that idea out. And those are some of the most exciting projects, even if those are the projects that I think have this greater possibility of failing. And that's okay, too.
That's great.
So I think, like, And that's the hard time, is that every artist works differently, and every artist needs a different amount of, whether it's structure, whether it's timing, whether it's deadlines, or all kinds of project management styles. Like, each one has a different way that they themselves work.
Right.
So you have to figure out a way to be really flexible while simultaneously knowing that. And then it's just a matter of timing, of like, how can you schedule your season with all of these different ways that people work together.
Yeah. I guess another question that comes up for me, and we can always edit this out, but another question that comes up for me is, you were talking about how the role between like the curator and the artist is really like, it's kind of always in flux. And in some ways, like, contemporary art today is kind of like a curatorial practice for some people, making decisions thematically and making decisions about work that isn't even theirs, but showing it under their name. And so I'm curious if you, like, what do you see as your role as a curator as opposed to calling yourself an artist, if that makes sense?
Sure. I mean, I guess I see it. You have to be, as a curator, very clear about your positionality. Like, you have to be able to articulate the space that you are working from, the questions that you have on your mind. You have to be very clear about your sort of social, cultural, political position. And those, every part of your selection process and every part of the way that you kind of make that exhibition or make that program, you need to be very aware of all of those factors, because what you're bringing to the table is that perspective. And
that makes sense.
So I think, like, it can't just be about selecting, a popular artist.
Right.
Unless that is your position.
Right.
I guess that I have an interest in supporting work that falls outside of a commercial sector, particularly right now, I feel like I'm interested in a couple of different things. One is about supporting young women artists, and giving them an opportunity to do a solo show or to do a sort of experimental project. And then I also kind of have a strong belief in supporting projects that are trying to speak to the political, cultural realm that we are existing in, and how those projects, like, I think Chelsea and Mark, it's like this project of the militia is a complicated project. It's not something that sits sort of well with people. It doesn't, the knowledge that then after you see this, that you become more aware that there are groups of militia active in the United States, trafficking weapons, and having that amount of weapons on hand, is a sort of frightening fact that I feel like, through just their portrayal of that group, and then that they reveal them as human, and sort of as a familial group.
Makes it very complicated.
Yeah, it makes it very complicated.
Yeah, and interesting.
So I think, like, for right now, those projects are really interesting. And then I think Diverse Works itself has gone through kind of a history of moving locations. And so we're in a location that no longer has a theatrical space. So I think what I'm really interested in is how certain theater or dance-based artists are using a raw warehouse space, and how we can rethink these notions of the black box theater and the white cube, and right. how we could possibly invert or, like, merge them to some extent. So I want to have it blur on both sides. So those are the arguments I feel like, for at least for me, for the next year to a year and a half, I'm trying to figure out.
Great. Thanks for sharing that with me. And then in closing, is there anything that you'd like to add, anything related to artistic practice that you'd like to pass along? There's going to be a lot of different artists at different levels in their career listening to this podcast. And so any sort of advice or information that you'd like to pass along?
I would say don't be scared to put out your radical idea, and to not be afraid. I think that that's how some of the change, cultural change, can actually happen. And I feel like we're kind of operating in a urgent time. And I would say that, you know, I think the thing that I sort of still come back to is I believe the art realm is a realm where certain ideas and questions can be hashed out differently. And it really can create a transcendent experience for individuals and shift one's mindset. And I think that though it's really important to remember that when you're making work, that it's not just about trying to find the gallery that's going to be a commercially viable support network, that you can work in between lots of different realms. But within the art realm, I feel like that's the location that these conversations can be had.
Thank you so much, Rachel. I really appreciate
Thanks
your
so much
today. That was great.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.